The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list, and the Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist, and an eagle will fly, and it's gonna be here when you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell, and it'll feel like the whole.
And good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the debut of our new show, The Conservative Voice. I'm Don Beuschel, Jr., here along with my good friend and co-host, Joanne Cipressi. We are here every Friday at noon in our continuing mission of increasing the conservative base and making the Delaware Valley great again. Before I go on, I just want everybody to know, as you know, Dean has not been on the show now for about 4 or 5 months, and he has decided to step away from doing the show and being involved. But as they say, the show must go on. So my good friend Dean has got a lot of family things he's got to take care of personally, and I'm sure he will take care of that. So Joanne has graciously agreed to jump on board with us and continue what we've been doing all along. So I just wanted everybody to know about the change that we've done with the show. So today we have a great panel of guests. First of all, we have speaking with us today, as he does every week, the man of the people fighting for us in Harrisburg against King Thomas Wolfe I for our individual rights and freedoms, State Senator Douglas Mastriano. We also have three great grassroots activists who are out there pounding the pavement, knocking on doors, and holding street rallies for President Trump. They are Audrey Strine, Ellen Cox, and Matthew James. So welcome all of you to the inaugural show of The Conservative Voice. And always, as we will, we go right to Senator Mastriano. So, Senator, how are you doing today, and how goes the battle up in Harrisburg?
Congratulations on this inaugural show, and I look forward to great things happening. You guys are making a huge impact.
But we have to have you on the first show. I mean, it's just got to be the way it is.
I am honored. I think you could have done far better, but hey.
No, you're the ultimate freedom fighter. We can't do much better than that.
Wow. Thank you. You guys are awesome. But some highs and lows this week. So, of course, we had a ruling from the Third Circuit. I won't say ruling. They allowed the governor to keep his restrictions in place on gatherings.
Right.
But they haven't heard the case yet, so this is not a far-gone conclusion that's remain. So, yeah, the governor is allowed to keep the 25-250. People, we have to decide what we're going to do. You know, there's risk in life, and we're going to decide how to live our lives here because these are unconstitutional readings, as Judge Stickman pointed out.
So what's the next step? I mean, I guess from there, what's it got to go to the Supreme Court? Is that how it would work?
So now it will actually go before the Third Circuit in the next week or two. Who knows? Not soon enough. And whatever the outcome is going to be appealed. If we lose, we're going to appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. If Wolf loses, the Attorney General Shapiro, who's his axe man, hatchet man working this, he'll go to Supreme Court in the end, and it will be a monumental ruling potentially.
Well, I would hope that they folks would understand that, you know, this is a battle that is not only here for the short term, but for the long term as well.
It really does matter, and the Democrats are very astute at dragging things out in the court. So this is going to go on for some months now. It doesn't do us any good. So what's the so what for the people out there? Get out and vote November 3rd. Make sure on the 3rd of November you bring friends, family, everyone out, and inform voters, please. And let's get a veto-proof majority in the House and Senate of Pennsylvania so we can stop the governor dead in his tracks. If we get the 2/3 in the House and Senate back as we had 2 years ago, he can't go anywhere with his edicts anymore. We could overrule and shut him down there at every corner.
And that's one of the things that we've been stressing, both Joanne and myself. We've been stressing to people that these state races are extremely important. And we have the opportunity in certain areas to really flip some of these seats. I mean, here in Bucks County alone, where I live and Joanne lives, we had three state representatives flip-flop their vote on the it might have been four, but I know three for sure, flip-flopped their vote on the veto. Wendy Mess on a Napkin Ullman, Galloway, and Tina Davis. So, you know, we have a great chance to get some of them seats back. So
yes. So and we're working very hard to do that, and we have three people who are going to talk about a lot of their efforts and the grassroots efforts that they've been doing to help the people on our side to do that.
So Senator, what's I know you have the bill for the moment of silence for 9/11, and that's passed the House and the Senate now?
So it was an honor to be invited to the House to their committee hearing, the Education Committee hearing, and they passed unanimously. Next week or two, go to the floor of the House and then over to the governor for signature. And so this is not an unfunded mandate. You know, Harrisburg's good at creating mandates that the local governments and local schools have to spend a lot of money to implement. This here is just requiring a moment of silence. And the idea is, I think that the folks in the schools can handle this. The kids will ask, why a moment of silence? Then you explain to them what happened on 9/11. So it's a grassroots way of kind of making sure we don't forget. Because last year I was appalled in my own district. I couldn't find events to attend in honor and commemorating and remembering what happened on 9/11, especially as it impacted, you know, not just New York City and Washington, D.C., which is horrific, but also Pennsylvania, Flight 93.
Well, as a 30-year military veteran, I mean, that kind of thing has to stick in your craw a little bit, you know, that that we seem to forget history, and the Democratic left they just have this mission to either destroy statues or erase history, and when you don't remember history, you tend to make the same mistakes over and over again.
And that's really startling to me that even, you know, history within our lifetime, they want to push out of our collective memory. And this is the problem, because if we don't know what happened in our past, we don't know how we got here or where we're headed. And so that's why I also have legislation moving through the Senate here to protect monuments on state land. It was great what President Trump did to protect on federal land. We have quite a few on state land. We even had some of the Wolf administration minions to go after some markers in Fulton County that simply mark where the Confederates, the last encampment was, and where two Confederates that died and were buried in Fulton County. I mean, this has just got out of control here. Look, we should not endeavor to rewrite our history. We need to come to terms with it. That's simple as that.
Well, I find it amazing that as soon as President Trump put that law into effect that, you know, you would get 10 years in prison if you defaced a federal monument, those freedom fighters on the left side, they crawled back into their little holes.
It was a beautiful sight. You know, it didn't take much. I think we can restore law and order in the country here if we have the right folks, you know, mayor and governors and senators and reps enforcing the laws or writing the laws that really matter. It's not that hard, but we're on a precipice here, and that's why it's really important. Please, please, please vote on November 3rd.
Right. Well, and one of the things that you and I have talked about greatly is we as conservatives have to stop apologizing for what we believe in. We have to stop making excuses. When we're attacked by the left, we have to say, you know, that's the most stupidest thing I ever heard. I'm moving forward. Yeah. Okay, we have to stop apologizing for being pro-life, pro-Second Amendment, small and efficient government. I'm done with saying I'm sorry for believing what I believe in.
Yeah, and I am as well. And I'm appreciative that you point that out here, because right away, the left will lie, cheat, steal about you. They will lie about you as they do about President Trump. Why won't you denounce white supremacism? And we have all his video clips here unequivocally denouncing it. And he's very specific, KKK, white supremacy. And he lists it all, and he describes how that's un-American, it's anti-American, blah, blah, blah. But they keep talking as if he's never done that because they're perpetuating a lie. And the left, with the help of the media, you got to do your job and stop being complicit. Stop playing politics. I know you love the Wolf administration's policies and Biden's, for that matter, but do your job. The First Amendment. The freedom of the press is integral to a free republic as ours, but if you side solely with one party, I don't know how that benefits the freedom, because then you're perpetuating lies or exaggerations or hyperbole. I listened to the press conference just yesterday in the White House, and they wanted a repeat of the debate. You know, why hasn't she renounced? She's read the answers of what the president said, and they refused to accept it. It's like they cover their ears and just stick their heads in the sand and they repeat nonsense.
Exactly. Well,
it really is frustrating. I mean, I guess if he said it on 1,000 times, they would want him to say it 1,001 times.
Yeah. In 2016, he has stated over and over again this fact, you know, that he denounces white supremacy. And Chris Wallace himself even asked him previously. So for him to ask that question again during the debate just shows how manipulative that they're trying to be.
It was disappointing. It really was. The debate was disappointing for me. I personally like to watch Chris Wallace's show on Sundays. And for him to do what he did really bothered me.
Yeah, he was debating. He was not moderating. He was debating. So there were two debaters against our president.
So, Senator, we have one of the folks here as a former veteran herself, Ellen Cox. And I know Ellen wants to say hello to you. So,
hi. Hello, sir. This is Lieutenant Commander, Supply Corps, Ellen Cox, United States Navy Reserve.
Thank you for your service. I appreciate and thankful for your service. And so few do, so I'm grateful for that.
Oh, sir, I'm very, very excited to meet you. You are an absolute legend. A legend.
Wow, thank you.
He will go down in history.
You will.
And my goodness. I think you're awesome.
Well, don't we have the Mutual Admiration Society? I'm very excited.
Ellen is out there pounding the pavement a lot for President Trump. So she is one of these people that, like yourself, who served her country and now has decided to continue serving and doing what she's doing. So,
and she is constantly encouraging so many others to go out there and knock on doors, make phone calls, and she's reached out to me several times, say, "Hey, girl, are you going out today?" So she's amazing out there.
So you know, when you decide to make that big decision that we've been talking about, we have plenty of workers down here. She's shaking her head. Yes, it's radio, Ellen. You have to talk.
I did that in the beginning too. I just nodded my head.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We will be there, standing by.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So what? I know. Obviously, you have your election coming up, and we've talked. I mean, I think you feel pretty confident that you're going to win.
Yes. Recently, Don and I went up to one of his fundraisers, yes. And it was so impressive. All the people who were coming in and out. People were coming, and then more people were coming. People were leaving. There weren't enough seats for everybody. So.
And Joanne, and you know, I want to tell everybody that was listening and that is listening. Senator Mastriano stood there and greeted every single person that came in. He wasn't sitting down talking to somebody. He was at the door
with his
shaking
wife,
hands
with
his
wife on the side,
hugging people, taking pictures. There was nobody that asked for anything from him that he didn't deliver for.
Wow.
And he will do the same thing for us in the future.
With a big smile on his face, too.
Thank you. You guys are fantastic. I really, honestly, am so humbled by the support. We had people drive from hours and hours away to be at our fundraiser there, and we were blessed. And so thank you for standing with us here. You know, if we make a big decision here, we sure are going to need a lot of help. So, Ellen, I'll be looking for you to organize out east there for me.
Yes, sir.
So I do want to ask you, you know, so how is the campaign going in your district?
Obviously, it's going really well, and it's fantastic because it's a busy season, obviously doing my Senate work, and at the same time, you know, piling on campaign stuff in between there. But any opportunity to engage the citizens and to have a conversation with them and to meet them personally and support veteran events. Veteran events right now are big, and Back to Blue are big in my district right now.
Right.
So I'm among a lot of like-minded people, so it's a blessing to be here. On the other side, obviously tonight is a big night with the world premiere of the Great Depression film, and this is on par with what Dinesh D'Souza has done on the Clintons, except this is on the Wolf administration and COVID. So we look forward to a couple hundred people being there at the driving theater at Newville tonight around 6 or 7 o'clock to watch that movie. And I just see a lot of momentum out there. The only problem I have, I gotta be honest with you, is that there's just not a lot of room in the calendar. So I'm saying no. And so when I go to events, we're trying to maximize that to meet
right.
as many people as we can.
Oh, and I perfectly, you know, that perfectly understand it. That's why I'm extremely honored that you're coming down for our event for Aaron Beshear on the 13th, and it'll be a great chance for all the people that support you here to come out. So, you know, we're hoping to fill that room for you. We're working very diligently to do that just for you and for Aaron at that point. So the other thing that I definitely want to bring up is this continuing – I know you're pushing – legislation for Governor Wolf to take away the governor's emergency powers at some point. And I know we can't do that unless we flip the House, you know, not flip the House and Senate, but increase our majority. You guys have that bill written and ready to go?
Yeah, we do have several pieces of legislation to put the power back in the hands of the people. You know, one of them I've had written since, I don't know, March or April, and hasn't gone anywhere. But in the end, you know, Don, we have to be just as relentless as the left. They're persistent. They keep pushing. You see, they play party politics. They vote to elect you to go visit your kids in school as far as sports and activities. But when the governor says no and vetoes it, they flip their votes. That's a sign of a politician that's willing to do whatever it takes to advance their own political agenda and not work for the people. Those sorts of folks need to be voted out of office, and you have a chance to do that on November 3rd. Remember them.
Absolutely. And, you know, they get so serious about the mandates and requirements and, you know, having control over our businesses and our personal lives. But yet, just the other day, they were giggling. Representative Wendy Ullman and Governor Wolf were giggling about masks being political theater. So yep. it just goes to show that they're not completely, I don't even know what the word for it, serious about their own rules that they are mandating upon us.
And that's the crux of the problem here. We're tired of the hypocrisy and double standard. And we pointed out often, you know, and we've talked a couple times over the past 6 months on this show how, you know, the governor and Levine come out. It's real dramatic with their face masks and with the, you know, the sanitizer. They make these extreme motions like it is political theater. And in fact, I think we've actually said that it's a big game. It's like theatrics there. And then we hear, you know, from our dear beloved Nancy Pelosi and how you have to wear a mask. And if you don't, you're irresponsible. You're going to spread the virus. But she goes to the salon, of course, and was wandering around there without a mask on.
No mask.
But the rest of us minions, you better have it on. Dianne Feinstein, we have her on record there lecturing us on masks as well. You better wear it, otherwise you're irresponsible. And there she is in Dulles International Airport walking around there with her bodyguards or whoever's with her. And she has no mask on. So the hypocrisy and double standard needs to go. And what you heard from Representative Ullman and Governor Wolf, you know, giggling like this is some game. No, it's not a game. You're messing with our lives,
yes.
destroying
mm-hmm.
our livelihoods, and ruining our families, and the destruction with the elder folks trapped in these death camps, used to be called nursing homes.
Yep.
And it's no game for us. It's no joke. And we're going to remember on November 3rd, and those people, they're going to be gone. They're going to be put out of office.
Well, right here in Philadelphia, we had the mayor of Philadelphia, Kenny, down in Maryland, he's there right. eating and drinking, but the people in his own city can't do that. I mean, so they have no problem even flaunting their hypocrisy. And I'm going to tell you, it is all because we as Republicans have been too gracious. We've been too silent. We've been too apologetic. The party is over, folks. If you want your country back, it's time to get off your butts and start fighting for your country, because these Democrats are doing it, and they don't even care anymore. They'll throw that right in your face, and if you sit there and take it, it's your own fault.
Yes. We need to get our stuff together. We need to stop our little petty power struggles, you know, within the Republican committees in the counties and elsewhere around the state.
Yes.
And just come together. Let's at least have a ceasefire here until after we get Donald Trump reelected, because too much is at stake. And with Donald Trump, we need enough reps and senators into the House and Senate of Pennsylvania so we can rein in the governor. Half of the Senate is up for reelection. 25 seats are up, and all seats in the House are up for reelection. So you have all the power in your hands right now, my friends, to determine the direction and the fate of our state. If you want us to reopen to be a free people again, let's go out and vote and put in our folks here that will fight for you, not folks that are going to fight for their party.
Well, and you're absolutely right. I mean, what really bothers me is when we're infighting with ourselves. And that really bothers me. In my district, we have the faction that's fighting against Brian Fitzpatrick, the congressman there, which I think is totally ridiculous. But then I also see that there is a splinter group in the 7th Congressional fighting against Lisa Scheller, who has been endorsed by President Trump. So I'm thinking to myself, if you support President Trump, why are you fighting against this woman? I don't understand these people. They get their egos and they get their panties in a knot, and they want to go out there and they want to say, oh, I'm Mr. Conservative or I'm Mrs. Conservative, and you have to vote this way. No. The president says vote for all the Republicans. The president's the head of our party. That's what we do.
If you care about our state and our nation and our freedoms, let's get our stuff together here, stick together, and get our folks elected. You know, the primary was your opportunity to get your perfect candidate elected. If he or she didn't win, now it's time to get behind the one we got.
You're absolutely correct. I mean, and that's why we're losing races all over the place as a party, because we're not unified as a party. The one thing that Democrats do, they might kick and moan and scream during the primary, but when the primary is over, they're done. They're all together.
Yeah, I used to be a Democrat. So I've been canvassing and helping out politicians since I was 16 years old, working for Democrats. And I've seen their energy. I've seen their organization. And then I remember when I became a Republican, became very smart and changed parties. It was several years ago. I realized, I was like, wow, where's the energy? Where is the organization? You know, so I am really glad to see that this is starting, that we are starting to unify. We still have some more bridges to build, of course, but we are starting to unify. We are starting to become more energized and organized.
May I add
that
to that?
That is fantastic.
Sure, Audrey, go ahead.
The one thing I always said is our assets are also our deficits. We're individualized thinkers. We all have our own idea. So we don't think cohesively. We're not, crowd-oriented. We just want to do our own thing and kind of go our own path. And that's hard to get the Republicans. And I'm kind of giving them the benefit of the doubt, but that is a problem to get the Republicans to come together in a cohesive nature. And one other thing I'm going to add, Doug, is I love how you're putting yourself out there. My husband has been saying at the time of the COVID, we need these representatives, our Republican representatives, to get out on those Capitol steps and like tell us what's going on and tell us that they're with us and as unified. And I know you and a couple others and Russ Diamond's out there. But do you see in the future, Republicans coming out publicly more so than they are right now?
That sounds like a pretty easy question, but it's really not. Obviously, mm-hmm. I've been disheartened over the past 6-7 months that there's so few of us. But on the other side here, the outspokenness and the approach that we've had and the leadership of Donald Trump, more and more Republicans are being bolder, and not as many as I had hoped, but I guess I do see improvements, and I think you will see more. I thought at this point in the crisis that we would see more fighting and more of a concerted effort on our behalf here to restore freedoms and what we see. You know, we could run 836 every day. That was a judgment by the parliamentarian in the House. I did not know that, and I let everyone know that, but we haven't done it but once. So why don't we push every opportunity we get and constantly get the Democrats on record? So to answer your question, I guess it's yes and no. I do see some glimmers of light out there, but not enough. But let's keep pushing, and maybe some more people get a bit more courage to stand up and fight for our freedoms.
Senator, why do you think that there aren't more Republicans that are speaking out and standing up and like you are?
Yeah, clearly, you know, and I don't mean to compare myself to Donald Trump. I'm not Donald Trump. But you have one Donald Trump, his way of leadership. And Doug Mastriano has a different way. And I get it. Life experiences of many of my colleagues is completely different than mine. So I don't expect them to be like me. But why aren't they in their capacity and in their roles, you know, outspoken? I really can't say. I do know that I've taken this very personal. And I'm not overplaying my service. But having been shot at for people's freedoms and served 30 years in uniform to defend our freedoms here, It's an affront to everything I've done my entire life and what my dad's done as well, my two brothers in the Marine Corps, that the sacrifices for freedoms should not be taken for lightly, and we should not stand aside. So that's why I take it personal. And I got to be honest with you, I mean, I've been pretty hard on the governor here, but I've been holding back. I mean, I'm waiting for him to do some kind of ad hominem attack on me. I have been. Once he makes it personal there, I mean, I'm going to lay it out there. But I'm glad I have been told by some of the people in his circle that he's, you know, he's laid back on me a bit here because he's afraid of the people. We have this large movement, you know, 3 to 5 to 10 million at times we reach a month. And he's concerned that movement there will turn politically the tide against him in Pennsylvania. But, you know, he's probably our best friend in that regard. His feckless policies, his dithering press conferences, his detachment from the people of Pennsylvania is going to win the Republicans a lot of seat in the state and get Donald Trump elected in Pennsylvania, unless there's cheating and shenanigans going on.
So you heard it, guys. Senator Mastriano is just warming up. So make sure everybody in his area gets out there and gets him reelected.
So I want to make sure I bring this up because I know you said you had to jump off at 12:30. So October 24th, you've got a nice event coming up, correct?
Yeah, so the past several events on the steps, and you know, we're getting pretty good at this, because the guys putting together, Ernie and Mike and Sean and so many others. have been like reopen rallies, you know, and you know, letting our voices be heard, and we want our freedoms back. This one on the 24th of October is going to be a campaign event
on the Capitol steps. Capitol steps.
No government. That's right. Capitol steps in Harrisburg. And it's going to feature, of course, it's going to be pushing hard for Donald Trump, making the case for him. More importantly, also, we're going to bring in candidates from across the state here, senators and reps that need a little nudge, maybe something to help them a little better, folks that we believe in that we hope to get help to get across the finish line.
And I know you've graciously invited Kathy Barnett to come out, who's running in the 4th Congressional District here. And Aaron Beshear is also coming out, who's running in the 172nd District. You've offered to let Aaron speak as well. So I want to thank you for that. And I know we've discussed a couple other candidates, and as soon as I do my thorough diligence on them, I will let you know who they are.
Thank you. It's going to be, you know, and like the other events, it's going to be a lot of fun. So please come on out. We're going to have a band there. We're going to have a jumbotron. We're going to have speeches from Donald Trump and Ronald Reagan. A lot of good patriotic music, and it's going to be a great time.
Fantastic.
Well, so you can go to his Facebook page to find more details about that, too.
That's true. Oh, and every night at 8 o'clock, we have the Fireside Chats with Senator Mastriano, and they are fantastic. Joanne and I went up and did one from his house with Stacey Garrity. That was fantastic. And I just want to tell everybody, Stacey Garrity is a fantastic candidate, and we need to get her into office. And if we have to, and if we have to pull some Democratic tricks, I'm all for that.
What kind of tricks, Don?
I don't know. I know there's some people in the graveyards that might want to vote. I'm not really sure.
Oh, no.
I have some pets.
I love it.
Before we let you go, Senator, anything else you want to add in or jump in or anything like that?
I mean, we are clearly fighting politically for the life of our state and our nation right now, and everything's at stake here. So please do your part and be active and engaged, and not only just get yourself to the polls, but bring your friends and family out as well.
And what are your two Facebook pages that people can follow you for both your Senate?
Thank you for that. So my official government one is Senator Doug Mastriano, and my campaign page is Doug Mastriano Fighting for Freedom.
Awesome.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much, Senator.
We'll speak to you in the next week, and then we'll see you on the 13th down here.
Thank you, my friends. God bless you. Keep fighting the fight for freedom.
Thank you, Senator Mastriano. You have a great day. God bless you, my friend.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So that was Senator Douglas Mastriano giving us a little insight into what's going on in Harrisburg. So now we want to open it up, and we're going to talk to Audrey and Ellen here, and we're going to let them get into what they're doing to help the Trump campaign and other Republican candidates as well. So, ladies, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Don.
Thank you.
And Joanne.
Yeah. So, Audrey, what is your role right now in the Republican Party?
I am currently a committee woman, an executive committee woman in Warwick Township, Bucks County, Warwick 1.
Okay. Awesome. And you have an amazing grassroots effort going on. I actually have personally seen some of your lists and your organization and some of the fabulous things you do, but I'd rather you explain to everybody what you're doing.
Sure. Well, I got involved in politics about 10 years ago during, you know, when Obama was elected, and I just kind of kept building on that. Basically just taking myself out before I ever had any lists years ago and just starting knocking on doors, just not waiting for someone to organize something, just take action myself. Mm. And that's kind of what I did as an executive. It wasn't anything from leadership, but I wanted to get the ball rolling early and just put out some feelers out there on Facebook and just gradually, you know.
So you saw a need.
There was a need, yeah. I just put the call out to duty, and people just flocked to it. And we have, on average, 20 to 26 people that come each door-knocking session. I chose Wednesday and Saturday at my house. I was a little apprehensive of thinking, do I want to put – I thought, you know what, I'm just doing it at my house, you know, and trust in that, you know, nothing crazy is going to happen and everything's run smoothly. But I started delegating. One of my consistent volunteers, Ted, he puts out the, you know, he sets the text messages and we just say in, out. We just make it easy for people to be consistent, to know every Wednesday and Saturday that I have these door knocking sessions. And you, no questions asked, either you come or you don't. If you can, we all have busy schedules. Mm-hmm. And it's really worked out great. And we have more people joining on so much that now it's so much work for me to prepare the walk list and get everyone ready. Sometimes I have more people than I have walk lists prepared, so we're kind of all scrambling.
Wow.
But that's a good problem.
That's,
but
yes,
it just
that's
keeps
a great problem to have.
Growing and growing. And now people are branching off now and doing the same thing I'm doing down in the lower end of the county.
Awesome.
And yeah, so it's the more the merrier. And
there's a lot of area to cover.
Yeah, and if you want to get interested, if you want to help out in any way, you can email me at audreys110@yahoo.com. That's audreys110@yahoo.com, or go to the Facebook page of Bucks County Women for Trump, and we will help you in any way get started on your own, or you can join our party.
Fantastic.
Great.
So let me ask you this question. So in your humble opinion, how many doors have you knocked so far this campaign? Approximately.
I would say probably 5,000 or 6,000.
Awesome. And what has the response been from the people, from the voters that everyone is talking to?
Well, we have good days and bad days. Mm-hmm. About 3-4 weeks ago, we were having less great reception in some areas. And it seems like in the past 2 weeks, it's just exploded with such total support for Donald Trump. We knocked on 240 doors on Wednesday, and 3/4 of the people were home, and we actually only had 3 Biden voters.
Wow. Why do you think there was a shift in the responses from people? Do you have any idea?
Well, we did knock in a different area.
Okay.
We knocked in a more maybe more blue collar area. Mm-hmm. We fund the police. We support the police almost on every home of those houses. So that could be an indicator.
Yes.
Different
neighborhoods have different voters often, because mm-hmm. neighbors definitely impact one another. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, Ellen, when you're out there knocking on doors, what kind of responses are you getting, as well as what Audrey is getting?
Well, excuse me. I'm also a committee woman for Doylestown Township 1. And it's the same type of thing. It depends where you are. One of the things I'm focused on right now is Doylestown, because Doylestown is the county seat.
Right.
Yes.
And it's known for having gone liberal,
right.
gone over
yes.
to the dark side. However, we've been knocking. There are Republicans, and they are so happy to talk to us. So you'd be amazed at the amount of people that are so incredibly receptive to us and want to talk and want to feel that they're not alone. So, of course, there's different pockets, but we're also seeing Democrats for Trump.
Yes.
You know, I've gotten some people. That's why it's so important to get out there and knock on doors,
mm-hmm.
because just because you're a Republican does not mean you don't have questions. And what I do get is, well, I'm not sure I like his personality. So what I've said is, if you want a man to make you feel good, get a boyfriend. If you want an excellent president, vote for Donald Trump, and we're going to go for the platform, not his personality. And
I think that there's 3 women here. I think we can all agree with that, right, Audrey?
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Don's got a little pink right now, but that's okay.
He is blushing.
I can go along with that philosophy.
He's like, I won't complain.
Yeah, and you know, you go in and you knock on the doors with no preconditions. You could knock on a Republican's door and get the door slammed on your face.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A lot of my door knockers were apprehensive of going to the hate has no home here signs.
Right.
Believe it or not, they are the nicest Democrats I've run into. I think their heart's in the right place. They just are misdirected on policy,
mm-hmm.
and they have a misconception of what this Trump administration really is doing. They're listening to a lot of the mainstream media,
mm-hmm.
and they actually open the door and we have conversations.
Yes.
So don't, ever think, oh, I'm not gonna, that's the one mistake, and I'm going to say that Republicans make a lot of times. You know, you go, you get a walking list, and they say, only knock on Republicans' door. Well, our circle's getting smaller and smaller. Democrats knock on hard Republican doors, and they're siphoning off our voters.
Yes,
we started now flipping that around, and our registrations are up. I forget what the latest number is, but it's dramatically up, and I want to get back to that again, too, of our people focusing on voter registration. We have till October 19th is the deadline, folks, for anybody that isn't registered to vote. And make sure you ask all your family members and friends. As adults, a lot of people are embarrassed that maybe they're not registered to vote. And please don't assume that everyone's registered. I've gone to doors where they're like, oh, I love Donald Trump. I said, well, why aren't you on my list? Oh, I'm not registered to vote.
Well, the funny thing is, we've had events where people have come to support a candidate and they weren't registered. Right. And so we registered them. So I think it's important that we always ask that question, are you registered? But I want to touch on what you just said, because what you're saying is right. As Republicans, we can't be afraid to knock on that independence door or that Democrat's door. One of the things that I have stressed, and we're doing it in Aaron Beshear's case down in Northeast Philadelphia, we're focusing on independents and Democrats because the Republicans are going to vote for him. I mean, yeah, we're knocking on those doors if we have to at a certain point, but those voters are there. It's you can't win, especially in Philadelphia, unless you get some people to cross over. So our whole strategy has been to talk to Democrats and to talk to Republicans, and that's what, or Democrats, and that's what we're doing. And we you know speak to the Republicans as well, but you know the strategy is to go after the independents and the Democrats.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, listen, we all want Donald Trump to get as many votes, and we want everyone to vote for Donald Trump. But the reality of it is not everybody will. But let's not forget the down ticket. I met Stacey Garrity. I was so glad I went to that because now I have some substance to talk about her.
Yes.
But so frequently, you know, you get people are very frustrated with Governor Wolf, even Democrats, and they weren't a Trump fan. But I said, listen, let me tell you about Stacey Garrity. And they said, oh, I like that idea. I feel there should be a balance of powers. So I can do that. Or even, you know, get them to vote for Congress or your state rep. Don't just assume because they're not voting for Donald Trump that they're not going to vote for any Republican.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say conversations matter. And there are a lot of people who are undecided or they're swaying one way just a little bit, but they're still open to other, you know, to other options. And if you listen to the news or you listen to social media, people say, oh, everyone's decided already. The debates aren't going to change anyone's mind. But that's not true.
It's not true.
No.
It's not.
You know, all the three of us, I'm not sure, Don, do you canvass? Do you door knock?
I did when I was younger.
Okay, yeah. So
my knees don't let me do it anymore.
Yeah, so we all do it. And like the three of us here, three girls, we all canvass a lot. And we see that conversations greatly matter.
Well, the funny thing is, I was talking to a woman that's running for state rep in Bristol Township, Kelly Bellerby Allen.
Oh, she's great.
Fantastic
she's
woman.
Great energy.
Okay?
Great.
Fantastic
positive.
Woman. She will be on the show on October 30th. But anyway.
Awesome.
But anyway, I said to her, I said, you know, I fully understand your predicament. I grew up in Bristol Township. So she's running against Tina Davis, one of the flip-floppers. And I said to her, I said, see, I was lucky. My brother's mother-in-law was the first Republican mayor, the only Republican mayor ever elected in Bristol Township, Edna Roth. And so I was lucky that that was during the Reagan time. So we had some Republican people get into office, okay, in Bristol Township. But for the most part, Bristol Township and Bristol Borough is a Democratic stronghold for them. So I told Kelly, I said, I understand what you're going through because I lived it, you know. But she's out there fighting. She's out there fighting. Another woman I talked to, Janine McGee, fantastic candidate. And these are the people we have to start getting behind.
Yeah, and
because as Doug has said, and I've said over and over again, and this is the problem I have with some of our Republican candidates. If you try to stand for everything, you stand for nothing.
Yeah. Amen.
And Janine McGee is impressive. I don't know exactly what happened. She either broke her ankle or fractured her foot. Wow. And she was out there and is still out there knocking doors on a scooter. and because of her efforts, she's actually reaching a lot of people. Yes. So this these grassroots efforts really matter a lot.
I had a great conversation with her yesterday. I did not know this, but she's a teacher at St. Mark's. And my nieces go to St. Mark's. So she has taught my nieces. And we were just talking about Bristol Borough and all that stuff like that. But she is dedicated to getting out there, knocking on doors, working with the young Republicans. Her and Kelly are fantastic candidates.
Yes.
And I think what we have to start doing is targeting candidates that are in it for the long haul. Like, I spoke to Kelly, and she said to me, look, if I lose, I'm coming back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that's the problem with a lot of our Republican candidates. They'll run, they'll lose, and then they'll disappear. Okay. And then you have to build up the name recognition again. So people like Kelly has told me she's coming back. Aaron has pledged to come back. John Nungitzer in the 177th, if he happens to lose, he's going to come back. Ruth Moten, who we've had on. Ruth is great down in Delaware County. She's going to run again if she happens to lose. We have to start building our bench.
And the other thing is everything we're saying here, I really want to bring this back to what the everyday citizen can do.
Right.
You don't have to. The biggest obstacle I see is, and I'll say, well, do you love your country? And do you want things to change for the worse? So we are Trump's voices. We're Trump's voices, and we're the voices of these candidates who if we're involved, we will also say, you're going to come back, right? If they mm-hmm. weren't victorious. If what I'd love to be able to just tell you is how we can support these candidates and Trump, because we're talking grassroots. Yes. I got really focused about 10 years ago when I became a committee woman, and I got really angry when Romney lost. And 2015, I got called and they said, someone said to me, people don't believe in him. But I'm a New York girl, you know, happily living here in Bucks County due to the military. And I said, I know Donald, I know who he is. He's going to do this. So that's why we've been working, and what I've given the last 5 years of my life, my husband, who's also retired Army, we're military, we're veterans, I'm a mom, and if I can do it, you can do it. So we door knock, we phone bank, we make phone calls. You can do those from home or on an app from home, or you can do it from headquarters or from our satellite offices.
And no one sees your number. It goes through a third party.
So exactly. No one sees your number. We can do mailings. You know that Bucks County Republican headquarters has a 40,000-piece mailing going out. So that can be for someone who can't stand, right? And we also have... people need to answer phones there. So there's a place you can play at our Bucks County Republican headquarters, at the satellite offices, even at a candidate's local office. There's candidates running, aligning themselves with Trump in Philadelphia. They need help in all the different up county, down county. So there's so much you can do. You just have to be willing. So please contact Audrey and or myself. When we're out, we stay 6 to 10 feet away from each other. You can wear a mask. You don't have to wear a mask. We always go in pairs. We will give you a place to play and a place to win. You don't want this election to go by and you wish you had done something. You can do more than post a meme or post a video. You can get involved for your president.
I agree.
So you don't need to be a social butterfly. You don't need to be an extrovert. You can be an introvert, and you can be a shy person and still help out. You can be a little fearful and just stuff envelopes, because that will help us.
Absolutely.
And we have observers. We have someone that we do both. We use an app, and we also use a physical walk list. We have someone that carries the flyers and the candidate's info and checks off the information, the data that the voter gives us. So you don't even have to say a word. You can just stay right by the sidewalk and not even go to the door, mm-hmm. and just be the recorder or the sign carrier, because we do try to get signs distributed.
And we also need people to help on Election Day.
Right.
Yes.
Preferably earlier than that. But Election Day, we need help.
Now, if anybody wants to call in with a question for one of the ladies, the number is 888-329-3306. Again, 888-329-3306.
So, Ellen, how can they help out on Election Day?
Well, we, as a committee woman, I have my own. In fact, my husband and I are we're co-committee people, so we are poll watchers. We are poll watchers, and we are there. We cover that 12-hour shift. Mm-hmm. We will hand out sample ballots. Mm-hmm. We'll answer questions. We let people know which side of the facility they need to go vote, depending on their district. So it would be great that we could have people that would allow us to take a break. But yes. I've stood for 12 hours, and I'll gladly do it. But we also are going to need people to perhaps get people to the polls.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
We're also going to need people at headquarters calling to make sure that our voters are getting out, because I'm going to tell you, the other side does that, and they're, yep, and they've, mm-hmm, mastered that.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. When I was a Democrat, I remember we'd be at the polls, be like, all right, this person didn't come out, this person didn't come out, and we'd be knocking on their door saying, hey, you didn't vote.
And it's very effective.
I want to jump on what you just said, because I work the polls constantly.
Yes.
And so the last time when I was working at Hoover, I did the 13-hour shift.
Yep.
Because I was there for Rebecca Warren when she was running, and for Gary Gambardella, who was running for a judge. And I've done it for Dean Malik. I've done it for Mike Fitzpatrick. I did it for a school board guy one time. If they ask me for help and I'm available, sure. But you know what it is? That 13 hours goes fast.
Yes, it does.
And then after that, I got to go in and be a poll watcher. So that was pretty interesting.
And you watch them close, count, and then you bring the numbers back to headquarters.
So it's really, again, it's, you think it's a long time, and it is, but it goes by so fast because you're constantly talking to people.
Yes.
And trust me when I tell you this, you will be amazed at how many people you can convert into voting for the person that you're talking to. It happens all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. The conversations that you have while you're working the polls are amazing. You learn so much about what is on the minds of your local community, and that gives you so much insight. And then we are better able to serve the voters and the people in our community. So these conversations at the polls, when you're working the polls, are amazing.
The other jobs that are there, a lot of times, because sometimes someone gets sick and then we're struggling to find people to check people in, log them on the sheet, find them, match the name and the signature. And then also even the clear scan machine, there's not a lot of people that are trained in that. And if your judge of elections gets sick, they're scrambling to find, so we can, mm-hmm, get people trained in the technology of the machine. Listen, it's new machinery. We used it for one time. It's important to have like three heads better than one,
right,
to be able to know. You want to be versatile. You can, there's so many different options on election day of what you can do.
Yes. Now, I want to bring up that you have a rally coming up tomorrow, correct?
Right.
Yeah. I've got the list. We've got three exciting events happening between tomorrow and next Saturday.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you, Audrey Strine gives 1,001%, and she's put so many amazing events together. Tomorrow, we have a Trump Street Rally, Saturday, the 3rd of October. It's from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., and it's at Almshouse Road and 611, and we're going to have the Trump store there. On Wednesday, the 7th of October, we're going to have a flag wave, Back the Blue, with conservative activist Scott Pressler. And that's going to be at 3:00, and that's going to also go into door knocking.
Oh, awesome. He's coming back to
the
area.
He's coming back. Awesome. He believes so much in Pennsylvania.
He knows how important.
So that's going to be Wednesday, 3:00 from the courthouse in Doylestown.
So you think he's important to be here, correct?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
He brings, conservative activists, if you're not following him on Twitter, you are missing out. He just hit 700,000 followers.
Joanne said
registered so many voters for, yes, Trump. So he really is doing impeccable things.
And his entire movement is a movement of love.
Exactly.
Joanne said I have to be a little nice, so I was there. But Audrey knows what I'm referencing to. So I'm glad Scott is coming back, because I, as a voter, consider him important, though others may not.
Well, you are so funny. And guess what? If they don't, they are missing out, because he's done amazing.
You remember remembered our talk, Don.
And then
I learned.
And then 3 o'clock. And then the 10th of October, also in Doylestown, is a flag wave. Now I know we've given a lot of information, but please, I'm just going to spell it out: Audrey's110@yahoo.com, AUDREYS 110@yahoo.com. We will send you out the schedule, the time, any information you need. Or please look for my private group on Facebook, Bucks County Women for Trump. Bucks County Women for Trump. We vet all members. We keep it private. And we've got a very, very active group. We are not interested in being the biggest. We're not the biggest. We are the most active, and we brought the win in 2016, and we're going to bring the win in 2020. And
we have several hundred people tomorrow.
Yeah, it's very important for people to realize if when you go onto Facebook, you'll find information in Ellen's group. You'll find it on my Facebook page. Audrey posts a lot. And you will be seeing information, as I was telling you when I was talking to Senator Mastriano earlier, October 24th. When he does the event from the Capitol steps on that Saturday, Kathy Barnett will be there from the 4th Congressional District. Aaron Beshear will be there. And there will be another one or two candidates from Bucks County. And as soon as I can tell you who they are, I will let you know. But they will also be there. And so we have to come together as a group and stop thinking of ourselves as little enclaves, okay? We can win this if we get our butts off our couches and get out there and do it.
And I'd like to add to Ellen's group. It's called Bucks County Women for Trump, but doesn't mean just women can join, okay?
Men, I'm in there.
Men, you're exactly. In. Don's in there, and there's a lot of other males in there. So
thank you for saying that. And you don't have to be Bucks County or even Pennsylvania. We've got people from all over the country who perhaps haven't seen the battleground like we've had, but we've engaged them and taught them how to go back to their states. We've got, and I have to tell you, the men that come in are usually the handsomest.
Well, thank
right,
you.
Right, Don?
Well, I'm single, so I'm going to have to check them.
This could get good.
I'm joking.
That's fantastic. Anyway,
I know Audrey wanted to add something.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, we're talking all about business, but we did have some serious news over the night about President Trump, and he and Melania and Hope Hicks testing positive for COVID. And let's hopefully, you know, they get through the speedy recovery, asymptomatic, and hope. I know she was symptomatic, but hopefully she gets through it with a breeze. And, you know, let's just all keep him in our prayers. But listen, we are now his voices. He hopefully will do some televised events from the White House. But we are his voices more now than ever. He can't do the rallies for a bit. So everybody, if you didn't get involved, please do so now. We're here.
It's very important to understand a couple things. One, as human beings, we cannot defeat a virus. A virus is going to go, and it's going to do what it's going to do. So you have two choices. You can hide in your house, or you can live your life. Now, I choose to live my life. I also, as people know that have listened to this show, I had COVID, okay? I had it. And I survived. If I believed the government, I'd be dead by now, okay? Because I have all the extracurricular things that they say you're going to die from. My point is this, folks. Don't live in a house. Don't live in a cave. Go out and live. If you get it, you get it. More than likely, you're going to survive. As long as your governor doesn't send sick people into nursing homes, but at the same time, the Secretary of Health pulls her mom out and puts her in a Hershey hotel. You know, if you're not in that position, I think you're okay.
We're in America, everyone. You know, the land of the free. So be free.
And it is the home of the brave. So be a little brave.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, go out there. And if somebody's sneezing because they have allergies, don't pretend that you're gonna die.
We have an amazing immune system, and we have an amazing variety of healthy food to feed and boost your immune system. So take care of yourselves. Take accountability for your own health. We have an amazing body.
One of the things I brought up, because I'm a glass half full kind of guy. So I said to somebody who was arguing with me, a family member, who was arguing with me, telling me, 200,000 plus people have died from the COVID. I said, yeah, isn't it? I said, President Trump has done an amazing job. And she looked at me and she said, what are you talking about? And I said, well, the initial estimate said anywhere between 1.8 and 2.2 million. I said, so I guess he saved like 1.6 to 1.8 million people's lives by shutting off travel from China and Europe. I said, because remember, Joe Biden said he was a racist for doing that. I said, so let us not cast stones that don't have any weight to them. So
that's right. That's right. And that's what I also had a little paper that I created when I go door knocking. And because you can't spend the time with the voter to tell them every statistic, et cetera. So, you know, I just did some little homework and I had a reporter interviewing Joe Biden of what he was saying and then what the reality of what Trump said. And just the number one on the thing was Biden called for coronavirus tests to be free 9 days after Trump signed the family's first Corona Response Act. And the second one, Biden called for coronavirus testing to be available nationwide 12 days after Trump announced that testing was available in all 50 states. And there's several items below that tell that, you know, that tell the reality of everything. So when people say Trump acted latently, because that's the biggest thing I get. So I said, I've got to do some homework.
You know, you have to give Joe credit though, because Joe, you know, when he first ran for president, he plagiarized. So he's just copying it off.
True.
You know,
he's not doing anything he hasn't done before.
Right, exactly.
Right? So
47 years versus 47 months.
Yes.
I get a tattoo.
Ooh, that's a great t-shirt, right? Mm-hmm, I like it. So, you know, on this whole topic of COVID, I mean, we've all been knocking doors.
Yes.
How have people been responding? Are they scared? Are they freaking out like the media makes you think? Or how have they been responding?
Fine. I've actually ran into people that were in the process of chemotherapy and they say, oh, wait a minute, hon, let me just get my mask. They were
lovely people.
They weren't yelling at me. They took, you know, I'm not saying
responsibility
they
for their
took
own
responsibility.
Health.
And
oh my God, really?
I've had seniors actually come out of the house and say, "Oh my God, that you weren't with me." As she came out of the house the other night and it's like hugged me. She goes, "I feel like I'm trapped in my house."
Hugged you? Wow.
And hugged me. She goes, "Do you mind if I give you a hug?" And people are just, and they call the whole family, hon, oh my God, there's Trump supporters here. I can't believe you guys showed up at my house.
And one person said, I only opened up the door because of your MAGA hat.
Ooh. Yes.
So people are happy. And you know what? There are people, when I was out door knocking yesterday, and the lady looked at me, and she didn't want to open up the door. She was an elderly woman, but she looked at my Trump door hanger, and just, she started to punch the air, and I started to punch the air, and I did a little dance, and I hope it wasn't on the Ring phone picture, because someone's looking at it laughing right now, but people are happy to see us. They don't feel so alone. We answer questions, and there's a lot of support for President Trump.
That's awesome. Yeah, I went out 2 days ago for Trump. I knocked on doors, volunteered, and every person that answered the door, both Democrats and Republicans and independents and unaffiliated ones, all of them came outside to talk to me.
Yep. Fantastic.
Fantastic.
Well, I want to thank everybody for tuning in to our inaugural show here. And thanks for listening in. Don't forget, October 13th, Senator Mastriano is coming down for a fundraiser for Aaron Beshear. We're going to have just about every candidate there is running in Pennsylvania at this event. Kathy Barnett, Dasha Prewitt, Michael Harvey, on and on. Just look at the list if you want information.
It's a great opportunity to come out and meet all of our local candidates. Well, most of our local candidates are able to come out.
Stacey Garrity, yeah. Tim DeFore, everybody's going to be there. So thanks again, everybody, and we will see you next week.
And get your pretty on.